This is Paul Mills. Thank you for listening to this message from God's Word. It is my prayer that God will speak to you today, bring hope, healing, and direction in your life.
Turn with us to the book of Philippians, please. I'm in the midst of a series on Be Joyful, the life of reigning, the life of experiencing the peace and the joy that God has promised to us. I started a message last week and basically ran out of time, and I want to try to finish it today. We are in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Would you stand with me, please, for the reading of the Word this morning? Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul, writing to the Philippian believer, said, "Do everything without complaining or arguing." I'm going to read that again. "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe." Lord, I pray your blessing on the Word today. I pray you would open it, make it alive, do a work in every heart that is here. If there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, let this be the day they would say yes. We love you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, you may be seated. There are notes in your bulletin. I encourage you to take those out. We're going to go as far as we can, and whatever we don't get done, we'll finish with next week. Is that a deal? All right. Last week, I started sharing with you five principles to break a complaining spirit. Five principles to break a complaining spirit. I actually went over step number one with you, and I want to quickly review that, and then we will get into the others, and again, as our time allows, we will proceed through these principles. Step number one, which we went over last week, is to admit that it's a problem for you. Admit that it's a problem for you. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." Aren't you glad about that this morning? I have in your notes that complaining is not a bad habit. It's a sin. Complaining is not a bad habit. It's a sin. Complaining was the thing that kept the Israelites out of the promised land. A whole generation died in the desert because they would not stop complaining about circumstances and situations. And God just allowed a generation to die. God destroyed them in the desert because they grumbled and complained. Seven times it says they murmured. And God said one more lap around the desert. And finally God said, "All right, guys, just die. Can't handle this, can't deal with you. Just got to get a new generation to come in." There's a sentence in your notes that's very important. It says, "The reason the children of Israel never got into the promised land was because they were complainers." And I'm going to add here, not praisers. The opposite of a complainer is a praiser. The Word says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That means when it's going right, when it's not going right, when it's good, when it's not good, when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, you praise. Many people have a difficult time being positive. They tend to see the negative in others. They pick out bad points. They find that it's easier to be critical than it is to compliment. I will not ask for a show of hands, but those of you that do that know who you are. What do we do with it? We confess it to God as a sin. We ask Him to forgive us and to help us. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 is in your notes. It says, be joyful when? Always. By the way, how often is always? That's all the time, isn't it? Be joyful always. This is God's command. Pray continually. By the way, praying continually will help you be joyful always. Give thanks in all circumstances. The ones you like, the ones you don't like. The ones that are convenient, the ones that are inconvenient. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. And trust me, you will be tested in that. Number two is to accept responsibility for my own life. And I put in your notes that complaining is an attempt to blame other people for the problems that I created. Complaining is an attempt to blame other people for the problems that I created. We like to pass the buck. It makes us feel better when we can assume that all of our problems were created by someone else. Proverbs 19:3 in your note says, a man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. The Good News Version, I like this, says, some people ruin themselves by their own stupid mistakes, and then they blame the Lord. I will not ask for a show of hands, but mine would go up if we ask for a show. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we reap what we sow. You are free to make choices. You are never free from the consequences of those choices. We reap what we sow, whether good or bad. Now, there are basically three kinds of people. Number one, accusers. When Adam committed the big sin, and he took this like a man, and said, Eve made me do it. A manly trait. Since then, we've been blaming other people. We'll always try to find someone. Eve made me do it. My wife, my husband, my children, my spouse. Number two, excusers. It's not really my fault. It's really because of my parents, my education, the economy, something else, or somebody else. It's not me. It's something else. And then number say choosers. They accept responsibility for their own decisions. When they reap what they sow, they just take it and move ahead. Number three, develop the attitude of gratitude. We're talking about how to deal with the issues of life. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in how many circumstances? All circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How many of you have ever had anything bad happen to you? How many of you had something bad happen this week? God says, give thanks, because He's going to take it and use it for your good. The notes say, do you want to know what God's will is for your life? Jesus says, I want you to be thankful in all circumstances. When you lose your job, when you're having financial difficulty, when you're going through sickness, when you're having family issues, when our nation is going through hard places, God says, give thanks. Notice it does not say for all circumstances. It says in all circumstances. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. In all things. Say, Pastor, some really bad stuff has happened to me. I know it. And God said He's going to take that and work it for your good. The trials, the problems, the heartache, the sickness, the betrayals, all of those things, God said, trust me, they're going to work out for your good. We are learning from them. We are growing through them. The things that happen negatively in your life are happening so that you can understand. Let me ask you this. Did anything negative happen to Jesus? Did anybody lie about Him? Did anybody betray Him? Did He suffer physically? He had to go through that so that He could intercede for you and for me. By the way, He is seated at the right hand of the Father this morning, making intercession for us. And He knows how to intercede because He went through it. You will never be able to be the witness. You'll never be able to be the intercessor. God can never use you until you have gone through some issues in your life. I'm here to tell you today, I'm a better man than I was a year ago. Amen? Some of you are better people than you were a year ago or 5 years ago or 25 years ago because you've walked through the valley of the shadow of death and you've found God to be faithful to you. God is a pattern. He fits even the bad things in our lives into that pattern for good. God's purpose for my life is greater than my problems. I want you to underline that, put a star beside it, and I want you to remember it. God's purpose for my life is greater than my problems. Problems come to make me more like Jesus. Problems come to mature me. Problems come to make me strong so that I can minister and reach out to other people. Your notes say, I develop an attitude of gratitude. Amen. You choose to see the glass half full instead of half empty. The Bible says that Christians are to be different from the world. Philippians 4:11, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. Those are the words of the Apostle Paul from a Philippian prison, or Roman prison actually, when he wrote this. He learned to be grateful. Paul was writing from prison. He's saying situations do not determine my happiness. And I want you to underline that. Situations do not determine my happiness. If I'm waiting till everything is perfect to be happy, I'm going to be waiting a while, folks. Amen? We don't wait till everything is perfect. We say, Lord, I give you praise and everything I give thanks, for this is God's will for me in Christ Jesus. And I praise you and I thank you. Develop an attitude of gratitude. Step four. How am I doing? I'm doing pretty good, aren't I? Step four, 2 Corinthians 4. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. I want to read that again. For our light and momentary what? Anybody had any of those? Anybody gone through any of those? For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. We are being changed by our troubles. We are being changed by our hardships. Did Jesus go through any troubles? Did He have any hardships? Sure He did. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I need to understand that I'm living from an eternal perspective. What is happening to me, what is happening to you, is not just a today experience. We are being changed so that we could be like Him. And ladies and gentlemen, what is ahead of us is better than what's behind us. Do you believe that? He is saying that there are problems in our lives, but the way you look at them, that makes the difference. Look for God's hand in your circumstances. Problems are temporary. Recognize that God is controlling your problems. And by the way, He will not allow you to be tempted beyond which you're able, but will, with the temptation, provide a way to escape. Amen? I claim that in recent days. His purpose is greater than your problems. Complaining is rebellion against God. When I complain, I'm doing three things. Number one, I'm questioning God's wisdom. I'm saying, God, do you really know what you're doing? Is that what we do when we complain? Saying, God, do you really know what you're doing? Number two, I'm doubting God's care. God, do you really love me? You loved me, I wouldn't be going through this. No, He's perfecting you. He's changing you. He's adjusting you. Number three, I'm forgetting God's goodness. I'm focusing on what I don't have rather than what I do have. Jim, I love to come in here on Sunday and begin to praise God. When I walk through these doors, I leave something outside. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We leave some junk outside and we begin to praise the name of the Lord. We begin to lift up His name. We begin to be reminded of His goodness, His faithfulness, His kindness. We go back into the world tomorrow and back into the things that we have to deal with and we face, having been reminded that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. You see, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen. This is good preaching, by the way. Step five, the final step. You practice speaking positively. Complaining is a habit. Habits are only broken by replacement. Have you ever said, I'm going to eat less? I will not ask for a show of hands of those who did that. The only way to eat less is usually to change your diet. And that stuff is so vile that you say, I don't want any more of this. Amen? The way to eat less is change what you eat. You have to replace the negative with the positive. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I begin to quote the promises of God even when I don't fully understand them or believe them. Amen? I quote the promises of God that says, by grace I am saved, not through works. I begin to speak what God says, and as I speak it, I begin to believe it. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest thing you can do is to read God's Word, memorize it. When I was about seventh grade, someone gave me a little packet of scripture verses put out by the Navigators. Is anybody old enough to remember the packets by the Navigators? And I begin to remember, by the way, you can still buy those. You go to the Christian bookstores, they're still there. And I begin to memorize, the goal was to memorize every one of those verses. And I would memorize them, then you'd move up a step, and you'd move up a step, and you'd move up a step. And one of the things that changed me during my high school years was when all the other boys were out cussing and doing bad things, I was remembering my Navigator verses. It's Say, that made you weird. Yeah, it did. I've been weird all my life. But I began hiding God's word in my heart that I might not sin against Him, that I might be changed by Him. The word of God will change you as you read it, as you allow it to nurture you and to teach you and to guide you. Jesus said in Matthew 12:36 that we're all going to give an account of every idle word or careless word. Our words need to agree with what God's word says. I cannot do that unless I spend time in God's word. If you can't say something good, then just don't say it at all. My mother used to tell me that all the time. If you can't say something good, son, just don't say anything. It's amazing how much wisdom our parents had. Have you learned that? Over the years, they got smarter somehow. I don't know. The text that we read this morning was Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Do everything without complaining. When God says do it, just do it. When the Word says do it, just do it. We don't complain, we don't argue. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. How many of you know we live in a negative environment? Has anybody heard the news recently or read the newspaper? Or Nancy and I were talking the other night. She said, why is there nothing positive on? I said, because people won't listen to it. Remember several years ago, some of the news channels said, we're going to come out with positive news. They're not around anymore. Nobody wanted to hear it. Nobody, the advertisers wouldn't buy it. So we need to fill our minds with the things of God, His Word. That's where we need to know where the off and on button is on the television. Spend time in God's Word, hiding it in our hearts. A complaining Christian is a bad witness. A complaining Christian is a bad witness. A positive attitude is a great witness. When those in your family, those in your workplace, those in your neighborhood see you walking through the trials, walking through the hard places, walking through life, but in everything you give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Your mouth is a positive witness, a positive influence. And it's not that we don't understand that there's bad stuff going on, but we know in whom we have believed, and we are persuaded that He is able to keep that which we have committed unto Him against that day. Jim, we used to sing a song years ago, says, I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. Can't remember it beyond that, but I'll pay the price. Whatever others do, I'll take the way with the Lord's anointed few. I started out with Jesus, and I'm going through. You may not understand it this morning, but I am ticked off with the devil. I'm just ticked off. In the name of Jesus, I rise up and decree, I am more than a conqueror through Him who has loved me. There's nothing in this world or the world to come that can defeat me, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You're a child of God, saints. Being positive in a negative world. God wants us to be a people of love, of unity, of harmony. He wants us to be a church that exhibits the grace of God, and it just automatically grows. People come in here and say, man, I don't know what it is you guys have, but I want some of it. Amen. We are like a shining star in a darkened world. We close with Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you. Say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm that strong. I'll tell you something. You're not. Say, Pastor, I don't know that I can do that. I have news for you. You can't. But through Him, you can do all things. Hallelujah. Say, I'm old. It doesn't matter. Through Him, you can do all things. Say, I'm sick. Doesn't matter. Through Him, you can do all things. I'm here to tell you, Paul Mills is on his way back up. You watch it. I decree that through Christ. Amen? Do we go through trials? Do we go through hardships? Yes, we do. Why? To teach us and make us more like Christ. To leave an example like Him. But I've started out with Jesus.
This is Paul Mills again. I pray that this message has blessed you. This ministry is possible only through the faithful prayers and financial gifts of God's people. Please pray for us and make a financial contribution so that we can continue to reach people around the world with the message of hope in Jesus Christ. You can give online by clicking the Giving tab at the top of the website, or you can give by mail to the address also listed on the Giving page. All gifts are sincerely needed, appreciated, and are tax deductible. Thank you for helping us reach the world for Christ.